Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the INFJ Whisperer podcast, where I dissect all things INFJ. You are not alone anymore. There are others like you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another session with Jamila. Yay! Oh my gosh, Jamila's not sick and tired of me yet, thankfully. And I'm really appreciative of Jamila coming on again and, you know, giving us her wisdom. Hello, Jamila. Welcome back.
Hey. How are y'all doing?
Nice to have you. Nice to see your face. And the reason I wanted to bring Jamila back, not only because I love talking to her on this, and I know all of you love her too. We love your face. We love your energy. We love your laugh, your giggle. I know a lot of people are like, I love her giggle. But I recently had an incident, a very typical INFJ incident that I dealt with, and I was like, you know what, this is so typical, and I have this pattern of behavior that I always follow, that I always end up doing the same thing with these people who crossed my boundary, and I always end up dealing with the same kind of situation because I don't deal with it properly. I basically just run away instead of actually having a conversation, actually telling the person, I'm sorry, but I didn't like what you did. Can you not do that again? You know, it's such a simple thing to say right now. But when it actually comes to it, I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, can I say it? What if, you know, I'm a terrible person. I can't believe I'm so picky, blah, blah, blah. And so I kind of like start ruminating in my head and I don't actually say it out loud. But recently, this person did step over my boundary. And instead of running away, which is usually what I would be like, okay, I'm just going to block this person. I'm going to pretend like they don't exist. If I see them on the street, I'm going to go in the other direction, you know. I'm going to put on a hat and pretend like I don't speak English, you know, all that. But wow. I wouldn't do that. And I was like, I don't want to do this again. I'm almost 40. This is not how I want to live the rest of my life. Really, if I'm 40 and I'm still doing these nonsensical things, I should be ashamed of myself. So I was like, all right, let's try a different strategy. And so I actually, you know, first of all, I actually messaged Jamila and I was like, hey, what do you think about the situation? Am I being crazy? Am I being too picky about things? You know, because also that's something I'm like, maybe I'm being like way too picky and maybe I'm just an idiot and I don't see things properly. And then Jamila confirmed that, yes, you're not being picky. You know, this is actually a problem and you're actually, you know, right to get angry about it. So I was like, all right, phew, that's good. Because I do trust Jamila's judgment. She might like me as a person, but she will be objective about things. She won't be like, oh, Boom's cool, so everything that she does is cool. Unlike some other people I know who are my fans, and I like that they care about me and they want to be on my side. But, you know, I know Jamila won't do that. And so, of course, I asked her for advice, and she gave me such brilliant advice that I was like, oh my, this has to be recorded for an eternity for all INFJs from now on till the end of time, until YouTube exists. For them to watch so that we can learn from this. And so I'm grateful that Jamila's, it's late for Jamila again. It's like 10 p.m. or something.
Yeah, and
almost 10:30. You wake up at 5. I don't know how you do this. You're like a robot.
Well, I wake up at 4:15, but yeah.
Oh gosh, you're crazy. So anyways, wanted to invite Jamila on and just, I'm going to give the reins over to you. I'm going to let you know, let you tell us everything that you know about the subject.
Okay. So yeah, boom. When I heard from you and you described the scenario, even I was kind of getting angry, like, no, this is not right. What's happening? Because I remember your question was, am I seeing this wrong? Is this my fault? Did I bring it on myself? Which I thought was an interesting, typical INFJ question.
Yes.
So I said, okay, no. No. Now, so I think where I started, and just correct me where I'm wrong. I think where I started was first, of course, reaffirming that, you know, when you're a kind person, when you're kind, you're going to be vulnerable to people who want to take advantage of that kindness consciously or unconsciously. So the answer isn't stop being kind, you know, or whatever, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a kind person. There's nothing wrong with wanting to help because it's coming from a good place. And I think because this person was a friend and you're very excited about the friendship and, you know, anytime someone becomes important or there's a new, brand new, shiny new person in your life and you really want to let them know that they're important to you, then being helpful, you know, jumping in, alleviating burdens, you know, that that's what you want to do. You know, unfortunately, they're not everybody is built to have their burdens relieved. and everyone, and I think that's what I told you, that you know, everybody has to walk through their own experiences sometimes. And so when it's been my experience that when people kind of vent about the things that they need or what they want or what's making them uncomfortable, if you sit back and let them keep talking, eventually they will either work it out for themselves what they want to do and they're just, you know, talking through it, or they will legitimately ask you specifically, hey, can you help me with this? And in which case that is a great time, that's an obvious time to say, okay, now I can jump in, versus assuming, oh, well, I know how to solve this problem, so I'm just going to go and solve it for you, which people will let you do. So that's the other bad thing. People will let you do it. So it's not like someone's going to stop you and say, no, I want to have my own growth experience and you get out of the way. You're messing with my growth. No one's going to say that. No one's going to say that. So people won't stop you. And that's kind of the other unfortunate part. If you offer, people will take it. People will take it. So within yourself, kind of learning how to hold the reins for yourself and let the whole story play out with that individual and trust that they are smart enough and adult enough that if they need your help specifically, they will say so. We do have some manipulators out there, in which case you really want to make them wait. You really want, because I have been around people who hint very heavily that they want you to jump in. They hint very, I don't know how I'm going to solve this problem. Oh, I've been dealing with this for 3 days.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and they're just so dramatic and you know, yes. and you know, they get the vapors and everything. And they really want, because I have sat and I'm terrible for doing this because I love observing people.
Yes.
I have sat and just counted in my head, how many minutes are they going to put on this show?
Oh my gosh, you're so funny.
Before they literally ask the question, because I'm like, yeah, that sounds really bad.
Oh gosh.
Oh my gosh. How are you alive right now? Oh, you know? and because you need to be adult enough to ask for the help versus trying to manipulate me into offering help, you know? So let the person ask the question, even if they look like they're struggling with the concept of asking, that's a growth experience in itself.
True.
Learning how to ask, you know, when you can't get something accomplished, that's its own growth experience. So let the person ask you outright. It's going to tear you up inside. I'm just going to go ahead and give you that fair warning. It's going to tear you up inside because you're going to be like, but I know the answer, but I know exactly, you know, we could get this done in 5 minutes. You don't have to suffer for days and days. Just just let me take over for 5 minutes and I'm telling you the whole problem will be solved. Mm. So it's going to eat you up inside. You really, because you really want to just.
Yes.
But it never works. Mm. It never, you can give them the perfect solution. You gave that person the perfect solution in the moment.
Yes.
And it literally didn't pan out. So I can't tell you how many times I have thought I was doing someone a favor by jumping in, by solving the problem. Yes. And it never worked out. There have been times I've put money in. Oh. You know, people I had a really close friend of mine who was talking about how she, you know, bills were running really tight. And right. You know, I think she had gone out for coffee and she was like trying to pay for her coffee with change. Yes. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Uh-huh. So at the time I was a student, I was a grad student.
Wow.
And I was receiving, you know, your loan, your refund checks or whatever. And I gave her a portion of that.
Oh,
now, mind
God.
You, this is even my money. I gave her a portion, right? I gave her a portion of that, like, you know, here you go, you know, and because in my head, I'm going to help her pay a bill. There was some bill that she was complaining about. I'm going to help her pay this bill. Here you go. Absolutely. You're my great friend.
Mm-hmm.
She went out and bought carpet.
Oh, gosh.
And look, oh no, it's even better. She bought carpet for an apartment
that
they
God,
don't own. It wasn't even for a home that they own.
What?
She bought carpet, right. She bought carpet. She and, well, I don't want to say too many details. I doubt if she'll see
right.
this. But either way, she and her husband at the time, they were in base housing. So it's not even your place.
No.
So you took the money that I gave you and you purchased carpet. For a place that you can't pull the carpet back up and take it with you.
Oh no.
Why would you reupholster a place that's not yours?
Oh my.
You're gonna be
God.
Leaving here in a year or 2 years or whatever the length of time. Right. But I couldn't say anything, could I?
No.
Because
no.
as soon as I released the money, it's not mine anymore.
Yes.
And she made her own adult decision because it turns out she had figured out how to pay that bill that she was complaining about.
God.
And so rather than stop me and say, oh no, I don't need it, keep it,
wow.
I'm good, rather than stop me, she took the money and she used it for
wow
whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. And I'm a student and she knows I'm a student and she knows I don't have a job and she knows, you know what I'm saying? So that's what
yes.
I'm talking about is when you extend your kindness, people are going to take it. They are not going to stop you.
Yes.
And when you don't think about, you know, what's really going on, when you forget that you're dealing with a fellow adult or you're dealing with someone who is also as intelligent as you are, you're going to make stupid decisions like that. There are 100 things I could have done with that money. Oh, and my daughter at the time was a toddler. So there's 100 things I could have, exactly. That, now that's my stupidity. I have to take responsibility for that, right? Because I thought I was helping. I did not assess the situation fully. I did not take into account her husband's working. She's married. She has no kids. They're even if they're eating bologna and cereal for a week, they're going to make it.
Yes.
You know, and I'm the one that's over here, single parent, student, you know, still living with my parents.
Yes.
But
oh, no.
But I thought I had the better idea.
Wow.
Never again. That was an expensive lesson, but it was a lesson,
yes.
you know? So yeah, keep in mind that what I have learned is that whatever story you're being told is never the whole story.
Right.
It's not every single detail. It's not every single thought. They're not lying.
Yes,
it's just
yes.
not the whole story. They're just being emotional.
Right.
You know, and after they vent and they go home, they'll solve the problem.
Right.
And it probably won't even be a topic tomorrow. And you'll be still thinking like, well, what happened? And they're like,
yes.
what? I paid the bill, what? You know?
Yes. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
so yeah. So that's why I really learn how to step back because it's expensive to you and you can't blame anybody but yourself. Like, I hate you right now, but you can't blame anybody. So yeah, I was, I think I told you kind of the best way to psychologically trick yourself into feeling like you've been helpful is to be more about offering guidance, offering advice, which is free. And, you know, if they take it or leave it, you've offered it, you know? So identifying resources, oh, you want to do, you want something? Well, here, you can go over here. This is where I've gone. Mm-hmm. Things are reasonably priced, or, you know, this is free information that I know.
Yes.
And you've helped. Mm-hmm. You have helped. And whether or not they take your advice, of course, is up to them.
Yeah.
But at least you've offered something versus kind of sitting and stewing and feeling like you've not done anything.
Yes.
So that's a nice free way of helping without sacrificing.
Yes.
You know, now I think I did make the point that, of course, in an emergent situation mm-hmm. or, you know, something where you really do need to jump in mm-hmm. and kind of, you know, save the day, then do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, situations like that, try to, you know, guidance is best, you know, offering guidance or, yes, some form of advice. I did mention, I think when I talked to you, I mentioned like lending for a temporary amount of time, mm-hmm. but even that can kind of bite you a little bit because like I said, when you lend, anything that you release out of your hands is literally out of your hands.
Yes.
So if you're going to lend, then let it be something that's not precious to you.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying anything like it, if I lend money, then I need to prepare myself that I may not get it back.
Yes.
You know, and so if I know that I'm in a position where I need it back by mm-hmm. a certain date, by, you know, whatever, then I'm not going to lend it mm-hmm. because invariably something is going to happen where the money's either not going to be given back at all, or it's not going to be given back on time. And I'm going to be in a, you know, in a certain negative situation. So rather than be upset and go through that stress, if I know that I cannot legitimately give it up, then I'm not going to do that. Instead, yes. I'll offer whatever advice I can offer, mm-hmm. you know. And I know that almost kind of sounds like, well, you know, you're not doing enough. But again, it's an adult
yes.
who needs to learn, you know, we grow in adversity.
Yeah.
And we all get presented with challenges, just like you learned everything that you learned mm-hmm. through a series of challenges that you experienced in your life that nobody stepped in mm-hmm. and took over yeah. for you. That other person needs to grow on their own as well. I think I told you the story of the butterfly and the chrysalis. And I think a lot of yes. people know this story.
Yes, I love that story.
Where there was a butterfly struggling to get out of the chrysalis, and the individual watching the butterfly struggle cut into the chrysalis to, you know, get them to help the butterfly out, help it get out. But the problem is the struggle was what was building its wing strength.
Mm.
And so without the struggle, the wings never formed.
Yes.
And the butterfly never flew, and it became, you know, easy prey.
Yeah.
You know, we grow in our struggle. And mm-hmm. and even though it's hard to watch people that we really care about struggle and strain, but it's for their good. And yes. they need those experiences, because unless you're going to live their lives for them, they need those experiences.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
A couple of things that you did say that I really loved that I'm going to just bring up so that we don't forget about it is that the levels were a thing, like level 2 versus level 30. I really love that analogy. And also karma, like really, if you believe it or not, it's literally cause and effect. You know, life, it's one of the principal universal laws, you know, the law of cause and effect. So, you know, there might be something that they're dealing with because of something that they did in the past, and you don't know, you're kind of interfering with the general course of things. And I would love if you kind of spoke a little bit about these two topics as well.
So definitely the cause and effect. Yeah, you're right. Whenever we step in and we interfere with someone else's lesson, you know, they don't experience the growth that they're supposed to experience. I'm thinking very specifically of a mistake that I recently made where I stepped in with someone. And again, it involved money, or at least I bought a very expensive item for this person.
I see.
And they were not at the level that they needed to be to receive the item. So, and that's really, and I'm talking about from a spiritual perspective. Now, from a physical perspective, the item I sent them was an item they knew how to use, and they,
yes,
you know, they wanted it, and they, you know, what have you. However, I'm right now, and again, this is a close friend. This is not a stranger. Yes. It's a close friend. But right now I am watching them walk through a mental health journey that they probably should have been taking before I gave them the item. So the item, when I gave them the item, it prompted them to move forward. They're into a certain type of business, and I bought them an item to help them move forward in the business. Mm-hmm. So in the excitement of having the item, they moved forward. Mm-hmm. But were they spiritually prepared to move forward? Did they have all of the pieces in place? No. And they became overwhelmed. And so now they've taken a step back,
right,
to kind of walk the journey that they probably should have walked the entire time, in which case I never would have even been involved in purchasing items for them to begin with. That would, yes, have been part of their journey as well. And yes, so I'm, and so, and when I first saw them taking the step back, I was very frustrated. I was, yes, very angry, because I'm like, I invested money, but, but then I realized, no, wait, this is my fault.
Yes.
You know, I introduced an extra element that I had no business introducing.
Right.
It wasn't my decision to make. It wasn't, I was not called upon to be a part of whatever was going on in the moment. I just, in my own wisdom, mm-hmm, unfortunately, I just, yes, I just added myself to the mix and basically handicapped her, you know,
yeah,
rather than let her go through her own struggle, you know. So
I would love to add something here, Jamila.
Absolutely.
I think everyone knows about these stories of like lottery winners who become millionaires, mm-hmm, like multi-millionaires. They get like $700 million in like a matter of a few days. And you know, all of a sudden we hear stories about them maybe weeks or months later, even sometimes weeks later, where they've lost all the money. Like, mm-hmm, millions and millions of dollars came into their hands, and they lost it in a matter of almost seconds. Absolutely. if you think about the general scheme of things. And it's because they just weren't ready for that amount of money, you know, psychologically, exactly, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever it was, however it happened, whatever reason it happened for, they just weren't ready for it, you know. And so really it is about you become the person first on the inside, and then the money kind of appears. That's what a lot of people on the manifesting journey say, hey, you need to become that person inside. Like before you start, yes, saying, I want to become a millionaire, are you ready to have that amount of money? Can you, exactly, can you work with it? Are you prepared to hold it? You know, because most people, yeah, are not. So I really want to share that here.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually money is kind of one of the great amplifiers. Like whoever, yes, you are,
yes,
when you get that money in your hands, it multiplies.
Yes.
So
yes,
if you were, say, a substance abuser with $700 million in your hand, oof, you're not thinking about rehab.
Oh my,
right,
gosh. Yes, yes.
You are having the time of your life, you know. Yeah. Or if you're poverty minded, like perhaps you came from an unstable situation, mm-hmm, where food was never plentiful or housing was unstable, you're going to put all of that money on food. You're going to, yes, put all of that, you're going to buy an elaborate home that you probably don't need,
yes,
because, yes, for you, you haven't worked through, you know, all of the scarring or yeah, you know, everything that you pulled out of that experience. And, but now you have money. And so that money's just going to amplify that poverty mind, and you're going to surround yourself, you know, with all of these temporary things.
Yes.
And yeah, like, yeah, look up and you've spent $700 million on hamburgers and,
oh my God,
you know, you know, or perpetual cookouts, you know,
yes, yes,
because that's where your dysfunction is, so to speak. That's where, mm-hmm, your weakness is. So, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Money is a great amplifier of everything that's wrong with us.
I love it.
You really have to ground yourself before you get a hold of any kind of,
yes,
any.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Any version of prosperity. Any version of prosperity.
Absolutely. I love that. Ground yourself. Another thing I do want to say is that I've been reading this book recently, and I already kind of mentioned it to you, but I just want to bring it up if you don't mind. It's called The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner, and it's really one of the best books I've read about psychology and anger in a long time. Emotionality, basically. And one of the things she mentions over and over again is about overfunctioning and underfunctioning. Mm-hmm. And INFJs, because a lot of the people listening are INFJs or INFPs or INTJs mostly. Those are the kind of group of people that listen to these videos. Most INFJs tend to be overfunctioners. That's how it is. We kind of do more than the people around us. We kind of take care of them by doing more. You know, we are like, all right, I'll cook and I'll clean and I'll do everything, all the household chores, so the other person doesn't have to worry, and they sit at the at their video games and they just relax, and then we get resentful, of course.
Yes.
And so we overfunction, and that's what we're doing with a lot of these things where we're helping people is that we're overfunctioning, and then as a result of that, the other person ends up underfunctioning, because that's how the world works. It's about balance. It's not gonna be like we're gonna be overfunctioning and they're gonna be overfunctioning. It's very rare that happens that way. So basically what, again, you're doing is that you're allowing them to underfunction. You're going to get resentful about it, of course, but you're allowing this person to not get the lessons, not learn, not grow, not any of that. And you are actually causing it to happen. You're thinking you're helping them. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're actually hindering them. You know, you're becoming their crutch. You're becoming their wheelchair. And, you know, they're actually going to be like, you know, mentally and physically not challenged because of this, because you're gonna be like, well, I don't have to do anything. I'm just gonna sit on my butt and not do anything. And they'll watch you work like a crazy dog and burn yourself out, because people do that. You know, that you, if you allow it, they're gonna do it. Of course, I would do the same thing. Well, maybe not, but you know, I'm sure I would try. I don't know if I would do it. Anyway, I wanted to bring that up.
No, you're absolutely right, because when you step in and you end up burning out, or in the case of another example with me, when you figure out, okay, I'm doing too much, and then you want the person to pick up and take over, and you want to kind of restart the lesson and be like, okay, let me be the guide this time versus the one who took over.
Yes.
They're actually very resentful. They're very resentful. And you would, because, you know, and I think none of us likes to be uncomfortable.
Of course.
None of us likes, you know, but this is the way we learn, because nobody's going to come out of their comfort and say, wow, this is really comfortable. I feel like learning a new lesson. No, we get pushed into these lessons with our discomfort. Yes. So, and nobody likes it. Even though it works out for us in the end, nobody likes it. So in the situation where you've taken over, but you're like, you know what, I'm doing too much. And you try to go back and start that person at step one, they're going to be so angry with you.
Yes.
Now for someone like me, I don't care if you're mad, mm-hmm. but you're probably going to care.
Yes.
So in a situation like that, you really, one, you have to mentally prepare yourself as the person who's getting ready to start your friend over.
Yes.
Mentally prepare yourself that it's going to be like dragging a kid to the dentist. It's going to be tough. They're going to be angry. They're going to question your loyalty or your personality or whatever else, when really you're just saying, hey, I probably never should have taken over. Yes. And I think that's where getting brave enough to have that candid conversation is a place where you can step in and say, hey, look, I know I'm doing too much. Mm-hmm. I know that your arms and legs and your brain work. Yes. And I shouldn't have to, if you've been home all day and I've been out working, I shouldn't have to come home and cook as well. You know, you could do something too, you know, so like, let's kind of reset this. But yeah, it's challenging, but it's worth it.
It's such a difficult conversation for INFJs to have, though. I mean, you're an INTJ, so obviously you're like, hey, obviously, yeah, I'm going to have this conversation. Maybe you're like that, but for INFJs, it's like literally we jump off a cliff before we have this conversation. We'd be like, all right, there's a cliff, I'm jumping off there, rather than, you know, sitting down and being like, hey, I'm feeling taken advantage of, you know, I don't like it. Yeah. I want this to be a little bit more of a balanced relationship. And so I know it's difficult, and I'm saying that, and I'm like much older than a lot of the INFJs listening. So obviously if I'm even saying it at my age, you must be like, wow, even like teenagers or people who are younger as an INFJ, they must be struggling really a lot, but it really is one of those lessons that we need to learn as an INFJ. Yes, we're brilliant in so many other ways, but it's really one of our Achilles heels. It's like one of those things that really breaks us down. It's the reason why we don't achieve more with our lives either, because we end up doing all these things for other people, taking care of their goals, taking care of them, instead of being like, okay, what do I really want to do with my life? What do I want to focus my energy on? What do I want to focus my light on? You know, all of the stuff, the gifts that I've been given as an INFJ, what do I want to use it for? You know, and yes, it's a little bit selfish, if you want to use that word, because a lot of people will be like, it's so selfish. No, it's not selfish.
No,
but a lot of people are going to say that to you. Get over it. You know, I've been called selfish a billion times already, like a trillion times. Actually, I get it in messages every single day from trolls and from my mother. But it's something that you have to get used to, for God's sake, you know, like really, what's the worst thing that could be, you know?
Well, think about it. On an airplane, what do they do?
Yes.
If a plane starts to go down, what's the first thing you're supposed to do?
Yes.
Put the oxygen mask on yourself and then help someone else.
Yes.
So if you're not self-actualized, if you're not strong, if you're not growing, then you're not going to be able to help anyone, at least not effectively. You might be able to help on those lower levels that you've already achieved, but you also have to keep growing and learning and expanding, so that when those moments come that you could offer the guidance, you've actually had the experience to offer.
Yes.
But if someone tries to keep you, you know, pressed down, you're going to be ineffective. Like I said, if you decide I'm going to sacrifice myself and put the oxygen masks on all the kids, get one kid and then you're passing out. And then you're worth, I mean, think about it.
Yes.
Because like if I were on a plane going down, my first instinct would be, let me put my mask on my child first.
Of course.
I've got less than 5 seconds that I'm passing out.
Yeah.
And then if she's waiting on me to do this mask, well, then we're both sunk. Let me get it first so that my mind is clear, because I know what to do. So then I can help the person who doesn't quite know what to do, but I've got to take care of myself first in order to do that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. The imagery is so clear, you know, like INFJs are basically dying off.
Yeah.
Because they're not taking care of themselves. And like people around them are dying as well. But if we took care of ourselves, we could literally be taking care of our entire community as well, on top of taking care of ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a brilliant way to look at it. I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to remind me the levels, because I'm sitting here thinking, like, what did I say? See, that's that 3:45 a.m. wisdom. Like, what did I say?
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm also kind of half remembering, but what I remember is, the first level is obviously that you don't help, you don't say anything, you kind of let them do their own thing, obviously. And there's also the fact that you kind of give them guidance. That's another level for sure. We've already spoken about it. But the level that I like the most is that, you know, you kind of step back and you wait for them to ask for your help. And really, yes, like, that's like something that was most important for me to hear from you, is because I am actually pushing my nose into businesses of people that I have no business being in. Like, really, they need to take care of their own shit and I need to take care of my own. And so that was one of the most important things I had to hear, is like, hey, did they ask for your help? No, then what the hell are you doing pushing your butt into things that are not even your business? Like, just step back, you know? Sorry, go on.
Yeah, but I think even with that, that's where I was reassuring you that, you know, INFJs are more demonstrative than verbal.
Yes.
And so you're demonstrating your care by being nosy. you're not just being some know-it-all.
Yes, yes.
You know, trying to save everything, like, oh, you don't know what you're doing, get out the way. You know, you're not doing that. You're legitimately saying, I care about you. I care that you're suffering. I don't want you to go through it. You're precious to me. So I want to come and help and take over if need be, but I want to alleviate your suffering. I mean, so that's, I imagine that's literally the message that's your justification for jumping in. And the only reason why I bring it up is because that's so natural. That's a natural selflessness that people have. And that's not a bad thing. The selflessness is not bad. The execution is where you mess up a little bit, because you can be helpful, but without taking over the whole thing.
Right.
You know, you can offer some guidance, you know, or, you know, like, I think about just me as a therapist. A good therapist listens more than they talk.
Yes.
You know, a good therapist, if someone is telling me their whole slew of problems, in my head, I might have the perfect answer to settle all of that.
Yes.
But I'm not sharing it. Yes. Because I need to know where that other person is in their development, you know, because, again, I'm thinking on, you know, master's degree level solution.
Yes.
And this person is still in high school, you know, they're still, you know, so I've got to hold back and understand where they are. What are you asking me? Now, the funny thing about keeping a poker face when you're a therapist, because when you know what will totally solve it.
Yes.
And they ask what you think is the wrong question. They ask the wrong you know, they could be dealing with abuse and the kids aren't acting right and there's not enough food and there's not enough money. But the real question is, do you think I'll find a man if he finds out that I have a mental health diagnosis? Yes.
Oh, no.
I work in a psychiatric hospital. I'm dealing with a person who is sitting in a psychiatric hospital that I'm counseling. Mm-hmm. Their lives are in shambles. Clearly, they needed to be there for safety's sake.
Yes.
You know, they've got kids, they've got bills, they've got all these things going on in their lives. But the thing that was important to them in the moment was being able to secure a relationship. And that is important. That is definitely important, but that's where their mind was. So even though I had all kinds of answers for every other thing and all kinds of resources for every other thing in their lives, their mind is on this thing. Yes. So I have to stay where they are.
Oh, wow.
And so I can't jump ahead of them and say, oh, forget about a man. You need this for your money and you need this for your kids. And they won't hear me.
Right.
They won't hear me. And then I'll look like a know-it-all who's trying to take over.
Yeah.
But rather, I have to be like, okay, well, then let's talk about what are your concerns when it comes to dating? Are you concerned about people, how people perceive you? Will they see the real you? Will they, you know, do you divulge your mental health diagnosis? When do you divulge it? You know, do you have triggers that maybe people should be aware of without telling them about the diagnosis. Like I have to help them fill in the cracks for where they are.
Wow.
And then once they get those answers, or once they're able to process and come up with a plan that they're okay with, then we can talk about the kids. Then we can talk about, you know, so, yes. So you gotta go with where they are, you know, versus where you wish they were, you know, but yeah. And so that's how you have to treat people. Just meet them where they are. It's frustrating, but it's easier.
Yeah. No, it's such a good point that you make, because I think I've shared this story before where, you know, I was handed the book by Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, when I was 21 years old. Someone gave it to me and I read it, and it was literally like it was written in Turkish. I had no idea. I was like, what is this person even talking about? I have no idea. It's obviously a sham. I'm never going to listen to anything he says again. You know, like all of that stuff came up. Obviously, I was a really egotistical 20. I'm still egotistical, but I was way, way worse when I was back then. Okay. And then I was handed the book again when I was 31, 32 years old. And I read it and I was like, wow, my mind was completely blown. Yes. I'm like, this is the best thing in the world. I can't believe I didn't understand it before. You know, this is brilliant. I'm going to give it to everyone. I was talking about it for days on end. And so literally it is that, you know, I was not ready to listen to the master, hear it, or even bring it into myself at 21, but I was at 32 or whatever age that was, and it took 10 or 12 years to get there. Yeah, so if someone was like, hey, I've given you this book, did you do something with it? And I do the same thing as well with some people. I'm like, I gave you this advice, have you done anything with it? And we get angry as INFJs, but like, hey, you planted the seed, maybe it's going somewhere, maybe it's not, but maybe they're not ready for it, you know, maybe they're just a baby right now in that regard, and they need to grow up. So allow them that time, you know?
Yeah. And I've done the same thing. Like I will read something. I'm constantly reading the Bible because because I grew up that way. So what I understood at age 10, you know, I understood more at age 20, and I understood at age 30, age 40. So it's like every 5 or 10 years, I'll go back and read, and it'll mean something completely different now that I've got certain life experiences behind me now. Now it makes more sense, because, you know, so because as a 10-year-old, you know, Bible's black and white, like why would you lie to people? And then as I got older, it's like, ah, okay, yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That's
brilliant. So yeah.
Also, the Bible speaks a lot in analogies and in epithets, and like really like it doesn't directly give you the answer. Says this is how you should live your life. No, it's like it gives it to you in like different ways of doing. Like everyone could interpret it in a different manner, and that's literally the essential teaching. Is that hey, everyone's gonna look at a flower and see a different thing. They're gonna see a different color. They're gonna see a different flower. They're gonna see a different interpretation. So really, there is no one black and white way of thinking and one black and white way of looking at the world. And that's why I love all religious texts. Not only, of course, I love the Bible, but also I love the Gita. I love, you know, the Quran even like has such brilliance in it, you know, because it's really literally about opening your mind up and saying, okay, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. and God is trying to help me, but really my mind is so closed off with all of this garbage in it that sometimes I can't even see straight, you know. Yeah. So it literally is, like you said, reading it over and over again to get the lesson.
Yeah, this is why we, and I know we all hate this. This is why we never get the whole plan. This is why we only get one step at a time.
In
our lives. Exactly. You know, I would love to see the ending. Like, okay, I know what I want to do. Just shoot me to the ending. And it's like, no. Step one.
Yes.
Calm down. Step two, you know. Because that,
oh my gosh,
God knows us better than anyone. That he knows exactly where we are. Okay, step one, very tiny step, and we struggle so much with step one. Really, we should understand that we're not ready for whatever step number 987 is. Yes. We can't handle step one yet.
Yes.
So.
I would like to add something here, and this is something that I have many arguments with friends and families about. And of course, I'm not saying that I'm an expert in this. But I really do believe for myself in my life, it has been the case that God has only given me things that I can handle. Like in the moment, he doesn't ever give me more than I can handle. it seems like it's too much. And I'm like, God, what are you doing to me? Do you hate me? But really, like, he really, like, and looking back in hindsight, I'm like, wow, that was the perfect lesson, the perfect time and my perfect level. Really couldn't have been better than that, of course, because it's the universe. Like, you know, it's brilliant, much more brilliant than we are, billion times more. And so I have arguments with people because they're like, no, that's not true. There are a lot of people suffering on the planet right now, and they're definitely given more than they can handle. And, you know, this is false. And, you know, basically you're kind of perpetuating the idea of people deserve what they get and all that stuff, which is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying people deserve what they get, but it's just that we're given lessons in the level that it's appropriate for us. What do you say about that? I know it's a random topic to add to this, but.
No. Actually, it's right on point. And it adds in, because see, the thing is, we tend to romanticize other people. We tend to come up with two or three descriptors of that person, and we feel like we know them.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So when we say people are suffering, people is too much. But okay, we'll take it off of that global generalization and bring it down to the individual.
Yes.
What is this individual's suffering?
Mm-hmm.
What are they dealing with? And then and of course we will never know as outsiders, how is that particular experience relevant for that person's growth?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you really bring it down to the individual then it, whatever they're dealing with and whatever their perception is of what they're dealing with, it is tailor-made for them.
Mm-hmm.
But us on the outside, we see things in these generalizations. And so we assume that how we feel is how they feel.
Yes.
And how we see it is how they see it.
Right.
And that's not the case. And so then it's easy to get into these arguments and to defend people we don't even know. They're abstract, you know, based on our perception and how we think they should feel and how we think they should take it. But really, when you look at each individual's experience, it is tailor-made for that individual, just like yours were tailor-made for you. And if someone were to come along and tell you, oh, you shouldn't have had to deal with that, then your answer would be like, but no, but it was perfect, because had I not dealt with this, I would not have learned how to do this. I would not have gained this. I would have not have developed patience in this. I would not have developed an ability to guide someone else who's getting ready to go through this. You know, you're able to break it down for your individual self, and you would be offended if someone came up to you and said, oh, you never should have. Oh, no, reject it. No, absolutely not. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how I see it. Even when things seem to be happening on a, well, they are happening on a global scale, but still individuals are experiencing it. And so for each individual, it means something different, and it is precise to what they need to learn or know for whatever's
really
going to happen next for them. Yeah.
I love that. That's so brilliant. I do romanticize people, and I do kind of like put them into this box, and I'm like, oh, poor them, and how woeful they are and how victim-like they are. And on the other end, they're like, I love this. This is awesome. Same thing if someone looked at me and the life that I lead, they're like, oh my gosh, she lives such a hard, like my mom in particular. She's like, oh my God, you don't have enough clothes. Your clothes are tearing, and you know, you're living in the middle of nowhere by yourself. You're lonely. I'm like, lonely? That word hasn't even come into my dictionary in the past like 20 years. So it's really, really fascinating, because we do look at other people in such a different fashion from what they actually are experiencing. So we're actually pretending like we're God, like we know everything, but we don't. We know nothing. We barely know our own experience. Come on.
Exactly.
So I'm going to kind of end this here, unless you have something else that you wanted to add, Jamila, because I think this has been so brilliant that I want to end at a high note. I really enjoyed this talk. Oh my gosh. I hope everyone actually listens to a big chunk of it, so they can get something out of it, because INFJ is really, I know I really needed this. Oh my gosh. And again, thank you so much for spending time
with us. You are welcome. You're welcome. Anytime.
And if anyone is waiting, we'll actually be doing another talk. We've already decided on this, Jamila and I. We'll be talking about narcissism and narcissistic relationships. And I know a lot of you are dealing with narcissistic relationships. So if you want, you can stay tuned. Maybe next week or the week after, depending on how things work out, I'll be scheduling it out. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that and learn a lot from it. I'm really looking forward to it. Oh my gosh, I have so much to learn on that.
I'm going to come from, and I tend to do this, I'm going to come from a completely different angle than probably what you've heard to kind of give you a different idea of what narcissists are actually going through when they do what they do.
Yes, which I'm really excited about. Yeah, because I think it'll be a more objective view and not like, oh my gosh, they're terrible and they're like a bane on society and that they should be banned from the world, because that's how we look at it sometimes. And I'm like, right, they're not that bad. Yes, they can be a little bit harsh, but come on. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, for subscribing, for being on my channel. I really appreciate it. And I shall see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to put a face to the voice, you can check out my YouTube channel, Boom Shakar. Bye for now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.